White, J.E. White, Emma. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. July 17, 1900. Dear children Edson and Emma White, I have been so fully occupied that I have not been able to write as I otherwise would have done. We have many things to settle in reference to the future of the work in this country before we leave it with assurance. We have acted according to the wisdom which God has given His agencies here. Last Friday, Brother Sharp and Brother Merritt Kellogg walked into W.C. White's house. I had just come in to speak to May. They brought with them a plan of the sanitarium for examination. Was not present, but we expected him every moment. The plan was laid upon the table, and we examined it. Two plans had been prepared, one more extensive than the other. One was a three-story building capable of accommodating 100 patients. It was a nice design. Then I inquired in regard to the material to be used in the building. The design was to use brick, which would be very expensive. I told them that from the light I had received for the last 30 years, brick and stone buildings were not the most healthful, as they were generally cold and damp. They reasoned that the appearance which a brick building would present would be much more attractive, and that we wanted the building attractive. I said, "So do I, but we have not the money to build of brick. We need a roomy building, and if brick is too costly, we must build of wood. In all our buildings in this country, economy must be our study. This is a necessity because of the greatness of the work which must be done in many lines in this part of God's moral vineyard. Every calculation in erecting these buildings should be with reference to other plants which must be made in other localities. Some thought that patients would not feel safe from fire in a wooden structure." At this point, W.C. White joined us. He reminded us that we were not in a city where buildings were crowded together, and that if fire broke out, it would originate from within, not from without. Therefore, brick would not be a safeguard. This matter will need to be presented to patients in the correct light. That for health, a wooden building is much more preferable than one of brick, because in it we avoid all dampness. We who lead out in our buildings must do as we design, that is, intend, others should follow. Even if we had the money in sight, we would not selfishly use more than is needed in building, because in all our designs we must conduct our work with reference to other portions of the Lord's vineyard. We are all members of the one family, children of one Father, and the use which we make of the Lord's revenue to carry forward and advance His work must be with reference to the general interests of the cause of God in other localities. There must be a cultivation of the Lord's vineyard as a whole. If we build expensively and incur a burden of debt, that would be an example which we do not wish to encourage in other localities, because it would be wrong for them to do this. Then we must build in such a way that we shall not violate the great principle laid down in the Word of God that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. We are not to be guilty of absorbing all the means in the treasury in our special portion of the field, and thus make it impossible for the work to be built up in other places, and for new territory to be added to the Lord's kingdom. The Lord would have other parts of His vineyard furnished with facilities so that they shall be able to give character to the work. The Lord forbids us to use any selfish schemes in His service, schemes that shall rob our neighbors of the facilities which would enable them to act their part in representing the advanced light and clear, decided truth that is to be presented in many places. After we had freely exchanged ideas, I said, "We must ever consider that our works must ever represent our faith. We believe that the Lord is soon to come, and should not our faith be represented by our works? Shall we put a great outlay of money into a building which shall soon be consumed in the great conflagration? Our money means souls. We must use the Lord's money in various ways to bring a knowledge of the truth to souls who, because of sin, are under the condemnation of God. Then let us bind about the edges, and not in any way be improvident, lest the Lord's treasury become empty, and the builders shall not have means to do their appointed work. The strength and joy of our benefiting humanity is not in an expensive building after the world's calculation. No, we must remember how many are starving for necessary food and clothing. If we shall walk in the wisdom of this world, we shall divorce our souls from God. We will do our duty and leave the result with God, who can give us success.
This reasoning was sensible and met the minds of all that were in council. It was decided that we should have a thoroughly constructed wooden building, with every facility brought into the structure for the health of the patients. Then our works will correspond with our faith. Dr. Kellogg suggested a change in some portions of the plan that would be necessary if the structure were made of wood. We decided that an appearance of grandeur should not influence us in erecting the building, but that any extra means which we might have should be spent in providing proper health-restoring facilities. The building should be constructed so as to secure the God-given sunshine, which is essential for cheerfulness and healthfulness. The Lord Jesus has shown us great love, and we are to impart to others the sunshine of His love. It will be the brightness and the joy of the presence of Jesus that will bring the healing balm into the sanitarium. The most marked and effectual evidence of the truth is revealed in the harmony which should exist among the Lord's builders, among His husbandry. We must all draw together. Our strength is in our unity. We are weak when we do not love one another, and when we love our own selves more than we love Jesus. Christ declares that the demonstration of this unity is the evidence to the world that God has sent His Son into the world. When all who love God and keep His commandments work unselfishly, each working to build up not merely that which is under his immediate supervision, regardless of his fellow laborers who are tugging and toiling with very few facilities with which to do the work. When they, in harmonious love, in unity of heart and action, interestedly favor others as they themselves have been favored, they will reveal to our world the great principle of the love of Christ. I am instructed to say that we are on test and trial to reveal whether, if under favorable circumstances, we would share with our neighbor brethren the supplies and rich gifts bestowed by God upon us, that they might be able to work, having advantages equal to those of our own. We are to demonstrate here in this world how we would conduct ourselves in heavenly courts. For the same characters reveal here, the way in which we deal with our brethren here is the way we would deal with those who are to compose the family in heaven. Now is our testing, proving time. Just as we treat one another, we will treat Him who gave His life to save a perishing world from eternal ruin. We know not when our Master will come to settle the account of His servants. Therefore, we are to be constantly prepared to meet Him in peace. The probation of any one of us may cease in a moment. Death by accident may suddenly and unexpectedly close our earthly period. How stands the life record of each of us today? To every man God has given his work, the very work which the Master would have each to do. The sanitarium building is to be a memorial of the Lord, to honor and glorify His name. It is to be regarded as a temple where spiritual truth is acted.